Oh, really? Is there getting text now? Oh, that's... Oh, you sent me one that said we're on now.
Yeah.
It's down at the clock, and I was like, 4:44! Oops.
Yeah. Okay.
You hear my AC?
Nah, it's fine. I mean, at least I can't hear it.
How about this?
Yeah, that's fucking awful.
Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 95 of The Gamesman. This is the show for the week of November 26, 2012. I am Steve Conger, also known as JSS Lifelike, on basically every gaming service imaginable. And we got a lot to talk about this week, and I wouldn't want to talk about all of these wonderful, wonderful things, products on the market, with anyone other than Scott McGregor, Mr. Rabbit Scotsman.
Yo. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, shit. How you doing, baby? not a whole lot. Just Thanksgiving stuff. And
someone who didn't celebrate Thanksgiving, Daniel Nadman Hardly Van.
Hey, man, how you doing?
What's up?
Good. Just got back from the cinema.
What'd you see?
Skyfall. New Bond.
How was it?
It was awesome. It was Bond. It's the first Bond I've seen in the cinema. And it was brilliant. Probably the best one I've seen ever. You know, he's back. It's not as bad as the last one. It's much, much better. Worth going to check out.
I still thought it was pretty good. I mean,
what, Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
This one's several steps above.
Well, the only thing that I want to see it, but the thing that nails it for me is just when he's jumping onto the back of that train car being torn open, and he just sort of like fluffs his jacket and straightens it out and walks away. Yeah. Like
checks his cufflinks and he's like, "Yeah, smooth." Yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's in the opening scene.
Oh, beautiful! That's perfect. Yeah, might as well nail it early.
Yeah.
So Scott, what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
That's what they said about the Bond girl, too, right?
Nail it early. Yeah.
it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Good
run
food.
Run of the mill or what?
It's basically my favorite holiday.
Yeah, me too.
It's good. You just get to go hang out and eat. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Like all the best kinds of food, too. Like, it's just good. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then take an awesome nap.
That's so good. That's what I always said was, I would rather have two Thanksgivings than a Christmas, I think. Because, A, nobody expects any gifts or anything. All they expect is really good food. And that happens basically no matter what. And then, if you have family you can't stand, the turkey puts you to sleep anyway. And you take a nap and you don't have to deal with them. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh shit, I gotta go home. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did. We went and I actually had two kinds of cheesecake yesterday, which was kind of weird. I did have some pumpkin cheesecake at Lisa's brother's, and Lisa made a key lime cheesecake yesterday, which was delicious.
Huh.
Man, it was good. And I mean, everybody's all focused in on turkey and ham and all this other stuff, and I was all about the cheesecake, man, all day.
Oh, man, I wish we had cheesecake.
Oh,
I love cheesecake.
So good. So good. I don't think I've ever met a cheesecake I didn't like. Yeah, I don't think. So, Dan, what's been going on in the world of games?
Well, I've finally kind of caught up with something. I've played the first four episodes of The Walking Dead.
Ooh. So dish on me, dish. I got to hear this.
Wait a minute. Now, remember, I haven't played it yet. So.
Okay.
Okay, so spoiler-free dish on me, okay?
I played the first four episodes back-to-back. I wanted to play the fifth, but it was 4 a.m., and I thought, I probably should go to bed now.
Okay, so how many hours total?
10
far?
Hours.
Okay.
Spot on 10 hours. Pretty much not continual. I had to take the old bathroom break and make some tea, obviously, because I'm British. but, yeah, absolutely fantastic. for a game that you don't actually do much, there's not a huge amount of input, it's so rewarding. It really is. It's absolutely amazing. That kind of roller coaster ride you go through of emotions throughout each episode is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one thing I will say, though. If you're playing it on the PC, it's probably the best format to play it on, because some of the things are a little bit tricky to do with the controller. And it, as soon as you switch to keyboard and mouse, it makes it infinitely easier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some of the shooting sections, and there's a bit where you've got to make a jump and grab a hand. So much easier with the mouse.
Yeah.
So much easier.
Yeah, so the first person sections, like, there are, I mean, I don't think that's any secret now that there are a few, like, first person shooter type of sections. So they are easier with the mouse, huh?
Yeah, so much easier. It's just like playing a first person shooter, you know, you just click away and everything dies. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Now see, I had problems with that, because obviously I was playing it on the PS3 and you know, the PS3, the DualShock 3 analogs, I would like overshoot my target, you know, like all the time. And it actually cost me, a character, I think at one point, just because of that. But,
and quite often when you're moving, the point of view of what you're aiming at moves, but, and you're suddenly like too far left because the controller does, it seems quite slow.
Yeah.
On the PC version, moving the thumbsticks.
Interesting.
Whereas, you know, with the mouse, you can just move it a lot quicker.
Now, did you try it with a 360 controller?
Yeah, I've been playing most of it with that, and then every now and then switching up to the mouse for the first person bits.
And it'll let you do that on the fly?
Yeah, it works brilliantly. Absolutely fantastic.
I think it's incredible how each episode is, you know, written by a different part of the dev team.
Yeah.
And
yet there's still that cohesion throughout the storyline.
Yeah, it's really an interesting experiment, I think, in DLC. And I still think that it really, like you said, it has its ebbs and flows. And, you know, it's a lot like the TV show. Like, whenever I boot it up and I start it, I'm like, oh yeah. Then I'm going through it. And it's really good at giving you some action and then giving you that little safe place to walk around and point and click and things like that.
Yeah.
And then it starts to ramp up a little bit. And at the end, it's always that, what the fuck?
Yeah, and there's always that feeling of tenseness, because you're never sure what action it is that's going to set off the next series of events.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're never too sure that the thing you click on isn't the thing that's going to be the thing that kind of kicks it all off again, and you're thrown out and everything's going apeshit again.
And I'm sure that you've come across a few times by now that they totally toy with your expectations.
Yeah. And it's just like my heartstrings are kind of their puppet strings, and they're just playing with my emotions and us. It's awesome experience. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I really wish I'd played the last one back to back, but I'll do that later.
Oh, it'll get you.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's any secret either that obviously everything is coming to a dramatic emotional head. And a grown man may have teared up, you know, that's possible. And a certain grown man might have teared up, and a certain grown woman might have actually cried.
Wow.
So I can't, to me, it's game of the year, I think. After finishing the episode 5 the other night, I think it's definitely my front runner for this year.
Yeah. I mean, the narrative is hands down the best I've played, I think, possibly ever.
And I mean, doesn't it, is it just me, or does it make you feel like Mass Effect decision making is all of a sudden meaningless?
Yeah. It feels like every decision you've got has got weight behind it. And there's, you know, you don't have that much time to plan what you're going to do. There are little kind of keys now and then, you realize something's going to go and you've got to figure out what you're going to do when that happens. But yeah, everything you do, you know, stuff from the first episode has effect in the fourth. I don't know about the fifth. I expect it will. And I'm just there. I was kind of a bit of an emotional wreck at the end of it. I was just like, Jesus, man, I need to go and lie down.
Yeah, it can get a little nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Absolutely
fantastic, though.
That's what it's so good at.
Yeah.
You know, it is really good at emotional investment. And I think that's what has me impressed, so much to this point. You playing anything else or what?
Something turned up in the post today. Lego Lord of the Rings. Been having a blast of that.
How far are you into it now?
I've got to Bree, so not that far at all, really. I've just, you know, done that bit with the riders in black chasing you down that pathway to get to the ferry.
I bet that was fun.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. Really slow.
Really?
Until Yeah, because you've got to kind of hide from him all the time and creep along. And then you've got to throw stuff to distract him, and he goes off to see what it is. There's one kind of cute bit where you have to throw a rock or something at a beehive, and the beehive falls down, and then all the bees attack the Black Rider, and he runs away scared. And
Black Rider ain't afraid of no bees, man.
Yeah, I know. What's he got? A few stings? Jeez. But, yeah, no, it's kind of fun. I'm role-playing Samwise Gamgee at the moment as someone who's fed up with plants, and he's just going around tearing up everything.
You know, on that Giant Bomb quick look, he burned and busted up a lot of plants.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems a bit weird going around Hobbiton, like, destroying people's plants and their wood stacks and things. You're thinking, well, hey, they're probably going to need that, but no, there's coins in there.
Oh, well.
But yeah, that's quite fun. And, oh, I got another game. F1 Race Styles turned up.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, so you got the full game now.
Yeah, yeah. Not my cup of tea, really. You know, if I was quite considerably younger and playing it with some school friends, then yeah, it would probably be great fun. But sitting there on your own, just racing around, there's not that many tracks. I think there's like 8 of the kind of, I say, Grand Prix tracks. They're nothing like the tracks in real life. It's much more Mario Kart. But it gets kind of repetitive just doing those tracks over and over again.
Well, so what's the difference between that and Mario, you got me saying Mario. What's the difference between that and Mario Kart?
Some Loogie Kart.
Yeah.
You can't drift.
Okay.
That's so, it.
No.
Otherwise, you're driving tiny little cars with mushrooms assisting you.
Cars and yeah, the drivers are caricatures of, you know, F1 races and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, so like, and that's what I want to know. So what does Mario Kart do to be successful that F1 Race Stars doesn't do? Is it the properties themselves, like the characters and stuff?
I think it's more fun just in general to play. You know, you could skin it with a Mario skin, and it still wouldn't be that much fun.
Okay.
Well, there's no like question blocks or anything, right? And turtle shells and.
No, well, that's the thing. There kind of are. There's like these blue, these gold orbs that you can fire out that lift up the cars and drop them down. And there's a red one that seeks.
So it's a blatant ripoff. It's just not as good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that could just be because I'm playing it on my own and haven't tried it with anyone yet. Because, well, let's face it, I played it for a few hours and thought, yeah, that'll do. Looked on the back of the box, it was a competition win. It said not for resale. So I was like, guess I'm keeping it then.
Well, you could have probably seen something like, look at the back of this. Oh, I got Walking Dead. Oh, I got Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I'll try it with some friends around. Maybe if we get super drunk one night, it'll be fun.
Does it totally have like a blue shell and like red shells and shit? Like the equivalent of?
Well, yeah, it's got a red sphere, which is kind of heat seeking and it'll go in. Whatever, and that thing's a pain in the ass to get out the way of.
Here, eat these red balls.
Yeah, and then there's like turbos and.
Is that a gay Indian? Like the buffalo.
Oh, this is a beer. Yeah, it's a beer.
It's a racial train wreck. Already, this is good.
I don't think I can recommend it to anyone unless they're super into F1 and karting games and about 4 years old.
Yeah.
If you're any of those, then you probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah, so. You're probably right.
Then go to fucking bed.
It on your list or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's all I played this. No Guild Wars 2 this week.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, something must be wrong.
Well, speaking of Guild Wars 2, Scott, last week, and I referenced this when I sort of posted the show last week, there was a not-so-smooth Guild Wars 2 Event League weekend last weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a little ragged.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why. I'm not really sure if they weren't expecting that kind of load from the all the free accounts that were given out or what, but yeah, it was
pretty horrendous. I've got some decent internet over here, some pretty good stuff. And I was having a hell of a time. I really was. There's like 3 second delays on auto attacks. You couldn't use skills for shit.
Yeah.
You'd just turn up dead all of a sudden. And you couldn't even tell if you were doing damage to some of it because they had such huge life pools, and just with all the lag and everything, it wasn't very entertaining. Some of the later stuff that they did was apparently pretty good and a lot smoother, but I actually missed all the finale stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I did too. I just thought, you know what? I'm done with it for now. I'll come back to it in a few weeks, and then I'll be back into it again.
Were they going to run the event again, the event chain again, or no? Because I know they extended the first day, which would have been the Friday, I guess.
They were supposed to.
Yeah, they were supposed to. Well, I actually, by Sunday, I actually got to use beat up the NPC that I needed to finish the first day's quest.
Yeah, that's all I ended up doing, too.
Man, it was wild.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they kind of chalked that one up to experience, and then maybe in a couple of weeks' time, redid the entire weekend. That would be cool. I don't see them doing it, but...
Well, there were some unique items and stuff that you weren't able to get unless you were able to attend the finale, which is kind of meh. I'm not real psyched about that.
Yeah.
Especially since one of the items was a 20-slot bag.
Oh!
Would have been really nice.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
So, and they... Gary got like 2 or 3 exotic items also.
Yeah, I was reading his tweet or something, I think, about it.
Yeah, he had one that was worth like 16 gold that he sold and a couple of really nice ones that he kept. So.
Yeah, I will say that we did have a nice flood, like an influx of new guildies.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool by giving out some of the free keys, the preview keys.
Yeah.
So did any of them actually purchase the game after that you know of, either of you, or?
Metric Pizza bought a copy.
Okay. And I think Duke said he was thinking about it, right?
Duke's got one now. Yeah, and okay. he hopped in the TeamSpeak and asked some questions and hung out with us for a while. It was pretty cool.
Cool.
And then I met a guy just out questing, and he decided he was really pumped about our guild, and so he wanted in and had a lot of fun leveling with him and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Cool.
Quite a few, at least. And surprisingly, I didn't actually really play all that much Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Not as much as I thought I was going to play. I got my Elementalist almost to 40.
Jeez. Yikes.
I was really, really enjoying, actually. He's nice and different.
I think I'm at 48 and a half now. So we're getting close to that level 50 dungeon. So I'm actually kind of pumped about that. I want to get back on it this weekend a little bit. I've been rather preoccupied as of late.
Yeah, I mentioned that I got some very thoughtful Thanksgiving gifts from a few friends. So I've actually been playing games I didn't think I was going to be playing.
I think I heard about some of these. So go ahead. But yeah,
well, I got gifted an Arma 2 pack. You know, it's that and the expansion.
Okay.
So that I could play the DayZ mod.
Yeah.
With Joe and Phil. So that should be cool. Hopefully we'll do that. Probably tomorrow, actually. And I got gifted a copy of Demigod by Zeromwing.
Yes, he was telling me about that, yeah.
I still haven't gotten a chance to play it. I need to. I'm not sure if it's single player or what. I don't really know anything about it yet. But and then I actually got gifted a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Oh.
Which I had no intention of buying. I'm just not going to spend money on it. Like, you know, okay, don't get me wrong. I got nothing against the game. I'm sure it's, you know, super fun, and it turns out that it is. You know, there's a lot of fun parts to it and a lot of things that I like about it that they brought back from the first one. And it's Treyarch.
Yeah.
You know, it's their workhorse. That's what they do. That it's a game that they know is going to sell. They have to put, you know, $4 of work into each copy to make, you know, 60. And, you know, so with that in mind going into it, it's, you know, it's not so bad. I played a couple levels of the single player, and, you know, there's some areas that there's not as much love in them as there were in the first Black Ops.
Yeah.
Just some odd combat feels to the way some of the levels are laid out. And like, I knifed five people in a row without even getting hurt. I'm like, what the hell? And then there's some clipping issues, and it just wasn't as lovingly crafted as the first one. That's what it seems like so far, at least. Zombies is good.
It's
really good, actually. It's totally like improved on, and there's different like feels to each level, and there's stuff that you have to just kind of figure out how it works. And there's like the first one you play is called Green Line or something. And there's a bus that pulls up outside the first area and starts honking its horn.
Yeah.
You have to get on the bus, and like it drives you to the next location where you have to like jump off of it, haul ass to try and find anything useful, and then get back on the bus before it takes off again.
So it's like objective based or something like that.
Kind of like the bus just keeps running the same circuit. So like if you miss the bus, you have to hold out in whatever area that you're in until the bus comes back. And you want to get to like each area because there's stuff hidden in each area to make new toys and there's bus upgrades and stuff that you can find like a upgrades. Cow catcher. Yeah, there's like a cow catcher for the front so they can't just jump in the front window anymore. And
what do you like?
Like get on top of the bus by like taping a ladder to it. And
it's you ridiculous. Like start out with the short bus?
Like all the seats are ripped up and like there's an automatic driver and it's strange. It was really funny seeing Joe like knife the driver over and over again until the doors opened and he ejected him from the bus into like lava as the bus was moving. And I mean, so it's very different feeling. It's still definitely zombies. It feels like that, but there's a lot of neat features in just that first level and stuff. So they really put a lot more love into that. And the multiplayer is pretty much what you expect the multiplayer to be. The maps are actually good. I've been pretty pumped about the flow of the new maps and stuff. They feel a lot like the ones in the first Black Ops and not so much like the Modern Warfare's.
Interesting.
And all the gun customization is there. There's more now, actually. There's wild card customization. And I'm not sure if you can put your logo on the side of your gun yet. I haven't really played all that much of it yet. But, I mean, you know, it's their workhorse. They know they're going to make $60, a lot of copies of it, and it's still good for what it is. I don't think I'd pay $60 for it so far, but you never know it. But with enough friends playing zombies and the multiplayer, it could turn out to be worth it. But definitely already leaps and bounds past Modern Warfare 3 in every way. And obviously they're the same genre. They're practically the same game, but
I'm actually hoping that the Wii U version shows up in the red box. I think I might try to play the campaign, I think.
That'd be pretty cool. The campaign looks like it comes after the first Black Ops, so they are linked.
Yeah, I did play the first one, actually, believe it or not. I think that was the first Call of Duty campaign that I ever played was the original Black Ops. And
I'm not often impressed by those type of things that try to like plot twist and try to they're usually all very guessable and stuff. And even though parts of it were still guessable, I was actually fairly impressed with the first one, the way that they laid everything out and everything.
The twist was neat.
The menu changes and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was all good. I liked it.
The only thing that I just don't get about Black Ops 2 is like when I watch that commercial, I see all these high tech toys, you know, drones, I see all this kind of stuff. And then here comes this chick on this fucking horse. I'm like, what? The commercial on TV? Like, you know, everybody's, you know. Oh, God, yeah. It's like, you know, everybody's a soldier. You know, it's one of those type of commercials. Like, it shows some famous people and stuff. And then this, like, chick just jumps over on the horse after everybody's using drones and rockets and all kind of shit. Like, why are you on a horse? But anyway, I don't know.
I guess get the pony crowd, I guess.
Yeah. I guess it takes place in the future or something.
I think there's some, like, wagon train or something you've got to go on in Mexico or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Thing where you've got to like go through some mountains or something, I think.
Have we gotten to the point where Call of Duty's just up its own ass about this stuff? Or
Black Ops, not quite yet. Like, at least from what I've seen from the single player and stuff, the story is presented pretty much the same way, but they may be just trying to create some drama where there is none. And it's not, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as tight as the first one.
Yeah.
You can tell that they're like, okay, now we need to make more money. Let's do this.
Yeah.
At least the revenue that they're making from their workhorse, they're trying to do, good different stuff with, and trying to kind of save their their company, I don't know, in the last few years, they've turned around really, really well. I never thought they were, you know, too bad off, but...
Well, I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't even be interested if it weren't for, like dialogue choices and story options and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just a straight linear campaign again, like the last two that I've played, I'd just be like, you know. But I'm anxious to see, like, what they've done with it and how the branching paths work and things like that. Like, to see if...
there were any shit.
No. I think there are.
Yeah, now that I think about it, looking at a couple of the achievements, it looks like they gave you two or three choices.
Yeah.
Seemed pretty radical. Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of interested to see if, you know, the branching paths all end up at the same spot at the end. Like, they branch out and then they come back together.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see. But yeah. So, what else you've been playing? Is that about it, or?
Oh, Tekkit Minecraft. Been playing quite a bit of that, which is like a culmination of like 41 mods for Minecraft. It's just absurd. Like, anything you can think of, you can do.
What's like, it make you... it look like Skyrim or what?
No, just like, it puts in like a full science and technology section to it. It puts in like a whole alchemy section. So like, there's all this stuff that you could do that you were never able to do prior to it. And so like, you can make moving objects, you like airships and submarines and stuff. You can go through like the ages of technology almost until you get to like a Manhattan Project type thing where you can actually make your own nuclear power plant and power quarries that are constantly mining for you. And it's pretty amazing.
Oh my God. Really, at what point is it not Minecraft anymore?
It's weird because it still feels like Minecraft, but it doesn't. Yeah. Like it's still Minecraft, but it's not, I don't know. It's great. So we have, Phil off of, his Fatal Ambition domain, he's running, being kind enough to run a Tekkit mod there. So if you want any of the information, you can, you know, you can tweet at me or hop in the TeamSpeak and ask. We've got room for you.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That's weird.
It'll be fun. Yeah, it's really strange. There's like, there's the whole redstone path like there normally is, but it's like condensed. There's like switches that actually do certain things like timers and stuff so that you don't have to make massive redstone wire layouts to do like a simple thing like open a door or something. And then there's Bluetricity, which is like you can make solar panels and it'll store in batteries, and then you can use those batteries to power sorting machines for you that sort all the different block types into different crates. And it's just strange. There's alchemy, so there's like rings that you can make that'll make you fly and like shoot tornadoes that push back enemies, and it's wow.
Holy
shit. There's just
shit.
So much content there.
You do realize that the original Minecraft is just way too heavy for me. Like,
yeah, I know. So, like, yeah. But, you know, if you're one of those people that are like, I beat Minecraft.
Then
it's for you. It's been fun.
Minecraft is nary my equal. I mean, I'll give you one guess what's been taking up my time through the whole week. But what I figured was I would just kind of let you guys ask me some questions. Like, if you had any questions about Wii U, what you didn't understand, what you were curious about, maybe I can answer them. So, Dan, anything?
Yeah, How's that controller? What is the screen resolution up to much? Is it resistive?
It is resistive. It's not capacitive. It's single touch.
Right.
It is 854 by 480, so it's a 480p screen.
Right. Yeah.
Which actually, at the size, looks pretty good.
Hmm.
Compared to my LG TV, the colors are a little more washed out than on my TV.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a terribly high quality screen, but I don't think that it's a slouch either.
Have you tried it? Have you got two of those?
No.
Controllers
no, just one.
I was wondering about the res drop when you've got
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to know that until next year.
Yeah.
But it's really not that heavy. I mean, obviously, I think it was lighter in the stores and the demo units because I'm not entirely positive there was a battery in there.
Mm.
Shelby and I were talking a little bit about that, that it was just hardwired for power.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of my questions, was how heavy it is. I know my wife, Pyra Lily, said it just looks like it's going to give those kids like cramps or carpal tunnel or something, that they're holding it like a book and like stretching their fingers out to reach the. So, you know, I'm curious as to whether or not it's, you know, it's actually easy to use for kids. And
it's surprisingly ergonomic, more than you would think.
It's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
For something that seems that awkward, there's just no way that they could implement it and have it actually.
No,
be
yeah,
that
it's really not. I mean? Like, I think the worst part of it, and that's a little bit what we were saying last week, was that the one thing that I hate is that I can't. In a gaming position at like 9 and 3, I can't reach with either thumb the home button in the middle.
Really?
So I have to move my hand down, hold it with my left hand, and move my right hand down just to hit the home button. You know, like everything else is within the reach of your thumbs except for that home button.
Perhaps,
it's like just barely out of the reach of both of your thumbs.
Perhaps you could get some kind of chin attachment, like strapped around your head. So
chin stylus.
Yeah.
Press the with that.
That's great. I could just grow a beard and twist it into a stylus.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, some glue in it.
But what I've caught myself doing most of the week is laying on the couch, getting under a nice blanket, and grabbing the gamepad.
Oh, the gamepad.
Yeah.
reaching down. No, man. He's the seat back.
I'm reaching down under the blanket. I'm reaching, I'm feeling, and I just found the fucking AC adapter to plug in that thing because the battery life is fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
Okay. No, I mean, it's not bad, but it after you play it for a while, if you have the, like, I try to cut the volume down a little bit and try to, you know, cut the brightness down on the screen a little bit because I'm not playing in like full light, you know, but like I'll have the news on or I'll have something on the TV and I'm just sitting there playing on my gamepad, man.
Cool.
And it's really cool. But if I'm just laying there on the couch and I'm holding it, my hands do fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, pretty easily.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that says something about the gamepad or says more about my circulatory system. I'm not positive, but it's definitely neat. And I, you know, like I said, I kind of panicked and I didn't buy Zombie U. I was going to.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
Cause
I panicked.
That's like the one.
I know. I agree with you, but then I started seeing reviews, and they're all over the place. And I'm like, oh god,
yeah,
$60.
No one expect from that. I mean,
I've seen some saying, "Wow, survival horror still exists."
Yes, I know.
So yeah. It's like, yeah.
And I think I would be one of those guys. Like, I think I'd totally enjoy it. But when I saw 4.5, 6.3, I was like, oh. So I bought Squirrel Nuts Unlimited. And it's awesome.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
It is awesome. So, go ahead. You have any other questions about it, about the actual machine?
Yeah, the tablet part again.
I think that's where everyone's questions are. Is
yeah. When you're not gaming, what other uses can you browse the web on it, stuff like that? I know nothing about the Wii
U. Okay.
It's not really kind of even
so,
on my radar.
Yeah. There is a browser on
right.
it. And I'm not entirely positive about the TV component with the browser. I would imagine that you can either swap screens or whatever, or it just duplicates on the TV what's on the gamepad.
Hmm.
which for now seems to be what the majority of the games do, in the apps. But I totally was on the web browser on the gamepad the other day and filled out all of my surveys for Club Nintendo to get my coins for all the shit I just bought.
Oh man.
So, you know, that was kind of cool. And like I said, the Miiverse thing, which is like the social network, that Nintendo built for the machine, is just way too cool. And you can do that, all of that independent, like over top of playing the game, which I love. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like if there was any way for you to see Miiverse, which you, and you know, obviously unless you have a Wii U, you can't see it. But you could check my profile and like all the time, like there was this one little situation in Scribblenauts where there was a guy who was like a homestead frontiersman, you know, and he had a cart and his ox, like his ox died of malaria or some
was
shit
it
like
Oregon
that.
Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
What are you playing?
Yeah, that's I think it was a play on Oregon Trail.
Okay.
So, he said, I need a new animal to pull my cart. So, you know, just trying to be goofy, I made a Tyrannosaurus Rex and he totally pulled his cart all across the screen. So the guy's in the cart and he's like whipping the T-Rex. So I totally hit the home button and paused it and went into Miiverse and it captured that screen right there. And I published that screen in a tweet sort of in Miiverse, you know, obviously with that screen attached. So, wherever you hit that home button when you're playing a game and you go into Miiverse, it actually like stops and captures that and you can post that in with stuff.
So you really need that stylus for your screen caps.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cool. Like you can type a little message with it, and like I typed, "Now we know the now we know the truth about the Donner Party."
You know? What the fuck? Oh God!
Yeah, so it wasn't them; it was the T-Rex that ate everybody. but then there's a little checkbox that you can check spoilers, and then it just won't show up. Like people will have to click through something to see it.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. And you know, Miiverse administration, I think they'll probably like delete your post or something if it is a spoiler and you don't mark it. So yeah, but it is cool. There are a bunch of little independent things you can, you know, you go into your friends list from hitting the home button in the middle of a game. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I think I'm pretty sure that's what this next generation is going to be about, is about more horsepower to do multiple things and multitask at the same time. I think.
Yeah.
You know, like I honestly think that the next Xbox and the next PlayStation are going to have streaming capability, like live stream capability and things like that to do over top.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think that's a logical thing to do after seeing something like this, you know, with the extra RAM. It may be slower RAM, but it's, you know, it's doing more stuff. And if there's a little more RAM allocated, it can be slower. You know, it can afford to be. So.
One question I had about, I don't even know if you've tried it yet or if you can do it, but how's the free HD Netflix?
It's pretty nice, man.
Yeah.
It's
I actually
pretty nice.
Liked the Netflix on the Wii. I mean, it was SD, but if you can get around that, you know.
What's great about it is you can totally go onto your gamepad. And this is the thing that impressed me so much. Like when you're streaming something, you can totally just hit up or down on the D-pad and it losslessly transfers it from the TV to the gamepad. No buffering, no nothing.
You can grab that and take it into the kitchen and
watch it. And watch it for a second, then come back in, transfer it back to the TV.
So you can just go grab a snack and you can still be on the couch watching it while you take that in.
It's on one or the other. So like if you're sitting there watching something, you're like, damn, I could use a sandwich, but I really don't want to stop watching this. You can totally put it on the gamepad, walk in there and be like, oh, man, hope you don't drop any cheese on it or whatever, and then go back in. Yeah, yeah, I know. Exactly. And that's what it comes down to. It is first world problems, and it is convenience.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to look. Like, you grab your Wii U gamepad, and you start up Netflix, okay? Then you hit the TV button on the gamepad, and it is this overlay of, like, a soft keyboard, like a soft remote. And it's there all the time. So once you have your TV programmed in, zoop, slides over, turn it on, change the input, press the TV button, it slides away, and all of a sudden you're in Netflix and you're watching stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, I heard it doesn't work if you've got like a tuner for your sound. It won't probably
well,
amplify.
See, and that's the problem. I'm waiting to see if something. I would think that eventually they have to figure that out.
Mm.
That a lot of people do that. But the thing that's cool about it is on my, you know, when I'm watching actual TV, I run that usually independent of my home theater.
Yeah.
Because the cable wires just back into the rear of the TV. So if I want to like watch some TV and play at the same time, I'm using that the Wii U gamepad anyway, because I'm just turning up the sound a little bit and then turn it back down before I do something else. So. Mm. It's kind of cool, and I think, like you said, it is totally first world problems, but it is sort of combining a lot of the things that you do already.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
That kind of seems to be the key to all the new stuff here, like you were saying. I don't know. It seems like they had to kind of push a little early.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that they want to do, and there's stuff that it seems like it should just naturally do that they haven't figured it, you know, out yet. You know,
there are some glaring holes.
Yeah.
Right now.
But I'm sure they'll patch those. I mean, they did with the first Wii. And
mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, the system does a lot of...
Still seems like fun. I mean,
of loading. It is a lot of fun. And I think, you know, it's still, you know, the novelty's still there. I mean, we'll see in a month or two where I'm at. And
if it has everyday functionality and stuff still.
Yeah. And that kind of thing. I mean, I'm cool with that. Like I took it to Thanksgiving to Lisa's brother's.
And, of course.
Yeah. So we went out and I only had two Wii remotes. So my two nieces and I were playing New Super Mario Brothers U. And, you know, obviously you hold it sideways like a NES controller. And, you know, two people were playing Mario and I think a yellow toad they were playing as, whatever. And I was just sitting there making blocks for them to jump on the gamepad. Just wherever I touched, it made a block. So sometimes I'd make it above them so they hit it and they couldn't jump and they died. Other times I'd put it in the right place for them to jump on.
Huh.
You know? So it is a lot of fun. And they were, oh, I want to be the pad now. I want to be. So. Yeah, so it seems like the appeal is there, and I think that touch on a base level is a lot less intimidating than, you know, left, right, 1-2 button, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So, but still, New Super Mario Brothers U, kind of cool. That new flying squirrel suit is kind of cool. Like, you can jump and totally float underneath a platform and then shake the Wii remote and he shoots up in the air. Like, the Mario will shoot up in the air. So it completely changes the dynamic of trying to get star coins and stuff below, and then you can kind of shoot up in the air with a little special ability. And instead of sliding down walls now, when you have that squirrel suit, he actually hangs on for about 2 seconds in the same place and doesn't slide. So it makes it easier to jump and stuff too. So it, yeah, it's kind of neat. And man, the Mario mechanics after the first world and a half or so, oh man, it really starts to ramp up. I think this New Super Mario Brothers U is 100 times better than I think the New Super Mario Brothers 2 that was on the 3DS a few months back. It just seemed to be paint by numbers. This one looks like the full, like 1080p high art asset quality type of Mario side scroller, you know?
Nice.
Kind of awesome. Yeah. Really cool. And you know, really calculated. But I've been having the most fun with Squirrel Nuts, man. I'm serious.
There's another clip for the collection.
Yeah.
I love Squirrel Nuts. With Malte.
Oh, it's great. But, you know, like, there was this one part where there was a kid. It was one of the little, you know, set up sort of canned missions that you have. And this kid was going on a date with a girl. So you had to clean the guy up. So I spawned a pair of scissors. And sort of gave them to him, and it spawned a whole barbershop. So he goes into the barbershop, and he gets cleaned up, and he comes out, and he's like a leather jacket on. Now he's looking all cool, you know? And then it says to spawn some kind of vehicle. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then it tells you to spawn some kind of vehicle for him to pick the girl up. So I've spawned a limousine, thinking maybe they'd get in the back, but he ended up driving it. So that was kind of worthless.
Can you pimp mobile and just see what happens?
I didn't. I probably should. So he drives up to her door, and I see like above her head that she has a little thought balloon with a bouquet of flowers. So I'm like, man, that's like way too calculated. So I typed in dead cat and it spawned a dead cat, like this dark charcoal cat that just had no life left in it. And I drug it over and gave it to her and she loved it.
What?
Yeah, and she was like, yay, and ran over and jumped in the car and they went to the movies. It was great.
With the dead cat.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
Maybe she's a zombie. That's like Skittles for her. You know, it's a snack at the movie.
Like Skittles.
I don't know.
There was another Kittles. One. Kittles. Yeah, you're off the show. That's awful.
I learned from you.
Actually, I was learned thinking it. So you beat me to it.
of course.
So there was another one. At that same drive-in theater, it was just a regular one where you can help somebody out. And there was a girl there who was standing there crying. And the hint is, I'm so lonely. So I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck do I give her? Like, I could give her like a boy or something, you know, for something for her, another person for her.
How do you spell, let's see, rapist?
Well, you're actually.
I'd have given her a Tamagotchi.
You never guess what I ended up giving her.
Oh, no.
AIDS?
A romantic horse.
Okay. Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
And she ran off with the romantic horse. Okay. And then on the drive-in movie theater screen, it started playing the movie where a guy comes in and gives a woman a present. And apparently he gives her the present, whatever you spawned. So he's walking in holding his horse. But the best part is the horse is clipping outside. It's like hanging out of the movie screen. Oh, it was so good. So I put a picture of that on Meverse, and it was pretty funny. Like, it was actually like a 3D movie. Like, he said, my God, you could really see the horse come out of that screen at you. Yeah. So it is good. It's a lot of fun.
Happy ending to The Godfather. You should start telling people.
So I'm really liking Wii U. I guess the caveat is there that if you couldn't get one or you didn't get one, you're not really missing out on all that much. You're missing out on the hype train, and that's it. You know, and the hype train's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun. You know. Maybe I should have gotten Zombie U, because maybe that's the seminal experience that I'm looking for that really defines if this is going to be what the next console generation is about. So yeah, I guess that's about it. That's what we've been playing for the past week and a half or so. So, Dan, you want to do shout outs?
I've already thanked him for it, but now I've finally played it. I don't think I thanked him enough. Amris89, thank you for such an excellent experience in The Walking Dead. Absolutely fantastic. And Zirin Wing, cheers for Demigod. I shall give it a go soon.
Cool. Scott.
Yeah, well, I just want to give a quick shout out to Ghost Whitechapel. I believe is his full name there in Guild Wars. He's been just gung-ho about Guild Wars and just playing every day and having a lot of fun and enjoying the guild and the people and stuff. So I played with him for like 2 days straight, you know, not actually 2 days straight, but, you know, two game sessions of days straight. So, yeah. And, you know, thanks for all the Thanksgiving love, the turkey love,
turkey love.
And the presents and just, yeah, all that good
ooh,
friends
that
and
turkey
speak.
Love. Oh, that turkey love.
I can't make a turkey noise right now.
Yeah. that's what it sounded like when I took a shit this morning.
No. Oh.
Well, for me, I don't know if you guys heard last week or not, but we are having a boy, and his name shall be Jacob Samuel. So we are all excited about that shit. And Lisa felt him kick for the first time today. So
really
awesome. Already. Yeah, I just can't wait, man. 4 more months. That's all we got to do. Can't wait.
I'm fine.
Yeah. It does fly. It really. And now the cold reality of getting this room done and stuff is really setting in. I'm like, wow, he has a persona now. He has an identity. Oh my god, it's almost time. You know,
you're gonna wake up. He's gonna be 16.
I know. I know. Oh god. Yeah, it's all right. I'll be happy. And other than that, just vghub.net. There's a great wealth of gaming content over at vghub.net. So, Dan, web for the week to come, dude.
As ever, I'm pretty much only on Steam, at Hardly Dan, or Twitter, at Hardly Dan, obviously. So catch me there if you want to play any games. I'll probably be back on Guild Wars 2 at some point, so look for me there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. Steam and Twitter, both rabid_Scotsman. Hit me up anytime.
And for me, JSSLIFELIKE, pretty much everywhere. That's Nintendo Network. That's PSN. That's Xbox Live. That's Steam. That's Skype. That's Twitter. That's whatever. You know, it's everything. It's N4G, unfortunately. yeah. All right, Dan, pay the bills.
Okay, well, don't forget, we're on Facebook, and if you click that like button, we'll read your name out. No one has this week, so that's nice and short. We could do some more voicemails. We haven't had one for ages, a good couple of weeks. So call the RPG hotline. The number is 412-267-RPG1. That's 412-267-RPG1. Or you can email us. The email address is, as ever, thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. And don't forget our Twitter account. That's @thegamesmanrpg, and we've got one new follower. And that is @MohammedSailHako. God, probably pronounced that wrong. Sorry if I have. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg. And we've only got 5 shows left, so if you're going to do something, you're cutting it awful fine.
Yeah. Yep, 5 shows left, man. I'm excited. Yeah, coming down the home stretch.
All right.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much. That will do it for episode 95. So on behalf of the Rabid Scotsman, on behalf of Hardly Dan, I am Lifelike. We are the Gamesmen. And until next time, we ask,
What role will you play?
not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion for a full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.